Father, we want to thank you this morning for all the privileges of being a child of God and being in your kingdom. Thank you for the rights that you've given us and all the authority you've given us over the enemy. And we are individuals that are free. I want to thank you, Lord God, that everyone here will even understand even further their freedom in Christ. I give you praise, Lord Jesus, because your word says in Galatians that we've been set free and we should not go back in bondage. We thank you that we will not be held captive by religious tradition, philosophies of men, and modern ideas of what helps man, but we'll embrace the truth in all of these areas, but we'll not be held captive in any way. But we thank you for our true relationship with Jesus Christ and our freedom that we have in him. We thank you that everyone that is watching will embrace the truth that's given. We pray that every demonic force that's trying to hold people in captive will be, these individuals will be set free this morning, no matter what's plaguing them, either in their spirit, soul, or body. And we declare them to be free, those that are watching who would really push in and begin to understand the word of God, they will be set free. No doubt about it. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, for every individual here, that there'll be illumination. We pray for the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and word of prophetic will come forth in utterance as we preach. Let it be demonstrated in spirit and power that everyone will know that I'm not just a man here preaching alone, but you are behind the scenes working through my lips and my mouth and my mind, in my body, bringing forth the truth of God, that they will have understanding beyond their ability in human standing. We give you praise before all that is done in advance, and we lift our hands thanking you right now in the name of Jesus. So we praise you and give you adoration and thanksgiving for all that you're doing. Oh, we praise you. Just go ahead and lift up your mouth, lift up your hands, lift up your voice. Thank him. In shakalamo soto olamo soto kolamasa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say glory to God. Say glory to God. Say glory to God. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. All right, go ahead, be seated. Our topic this morning is on deliverance. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, and it's the word of the Lord came unto me yesterday, and I was praying and asking God, like last Wednesday, the Lord gave me a word. And I was trying to find something new and something different because I was teaching on an area. Then the Lord began to rebuke me, but he did it in such a way that it didn't feel like I was being rebuked. And he began to speak to me about why do you have to feel that you need something new. And it began to unfold the word of God to me last Thursday. And there was a mighty anointing that followed. And we began to embrace that power. And we wrote down the prophetic word that was given. And as the word came to me, I began to write the word as quickly as possible. But you can't get it all in. So I got the main gist of it. And I sent it to you if you wanted it. The word that we talked about, you know, is something that we need to embrace today. And so we need to press in. So our topic today is on deliverance. The Lord gave me this. Of course, we have so many messages, sermons, and so on that we can derive from and pick out of. But the Lord put all in my spirit as I heard the word of the Lord saying to me, deliverance, deliverance. And so the title of our message is Freedom from Bondage. And we're going to use a number of scriptures this morning, but I want to start off by reading in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 10 to 17, and we're going to read these scriptures for you and together. Let's go ahead and pick that scripture now. I hope my staff picked up the messages I gave them so that they can put them on the big screen for you. And let's go to Luke chapter 13. And we're going to start reading from verse 10 there, verse 10, right down to verse 17, Luke chapter 13. And as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, I'm reading the King James Version, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. She was bowed together and could not nowise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. When he had laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of that synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him to watering? Verse 16 is what I want to focus on. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bondage? When they had all said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. Now I want to talk about a couple of things and point out to you. First of all, this lady had a bondage. He said in there, verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, being a daughter of Abraham, from whom Satan had bound, we see that there is a bondage involved in this person's life, and this bondage was actually a sickness, and she couldn't do anything for herself. How many people know that sickness is a bondage? You can't do very many things if you're sick. Both from a physiological standpoint, we know for sure that if you're sick and crippled and have a disease, you can't carry yourself around and carry normal duty. You can't be a wife or a husband, or you can't be a normal public citizen, carry out your responsibilities without any kind of aid, or maybe lots of aid or assistance. You might be captive into to a chair or confined to a house. Can I move around about like you want to be? So, also on another plane, if you look at it another way, so man is made spirit, soul, and body. First of all, man is a spiritual, eternal being. Whether he's saved or not, you're a spiritual, eternal being. Your spirit will live on together forever. If your body dies, you will live on. Whether, you know, the Bible talks about, Jesus talks about heaven or hell. Now, you have to look at the Bible and read the scriptures to understand that. People argue on the different points and say, how could God be so mean would send somebody to hell? Well, he's not that. He's not mean. The scripture says that hell was made for the devil and his angels. But not diverting too much from it, but we have to understand that there is also a bondage from a psychological, emotional standpoint. Imagine being so sick that you're confined to somewhere. You can give. It's hard to give from an emotional standpoint when you're sick. I don't know if you've ever been sick. It's hard to give out love if you're sick. Can anybody relate to that this morning, or are you gone home already? No? Okay, so, you know, when you're sick, it's hard to be emotionally attached or, you know, out there in life on an emotional plane. But also someone who's sick is actually in bondage as well. So you see a threefold bondage involved in here that, you know, we talked about the disease of alcoholism, or someone would call it the sin of alcoholism, but no matter what you call it, it's still a bondage. And so in that plane, someone with addictions is not only addicted physically, but psychologically as well and spiritually. So we have to understand and look at the scriptures. You know, many people have been freed from addictions or other areas, and you didn't have to be a Christian to be free. Glory to God. Amen. Truth is truth. Truth is truth, and no matter what it is, even people who are not Christians, who are business people, they find truth and they apply that, and they become prosperous. And that's not about Christianity or being a Christian, but there's a higher level of prosperity, of course, in God. You can still succeed whether you're Christian or not. Just being good and doing different things can be good, but you can have a higher level if you are a Christian. Nobody said amen, but that's true anyway. But so, this lady that Jesus said, ought not this woman whom Satan had bound be free? So, notice he says the daughter of Abraham. You know, Galatians says that we're all children of Abraham if we believe in Jesus Christ. We've all become children of Abraham. So everybody that is a child of God whose belief, whose faith is in Jesus Christ, have become family with God through Jesus Christ. We've been adopted in, Romans says, engrafted in, and we are one with Jesus, and so we become family. And everyone that is of the family of faith, Romans says that Abraham is our father. In the book of John, the Israelites were arguing with Jesus and said that, you know, we're not in bondage. We're, you know, Abraham is our father. And you know, those guys were referring to the biological, you know, the ancestry, and Jesus talking there spiritually. But in a sense, you know, we are free. God wants every one of his people to be free. That's what I'm trying to get to. Now, you can go to the scriptures and see for yourself that God wants every one of his people to be free, no matter what it is. He said, ought not this woman. See, she ought to be free, but she wasn't free. There's a lot of Christians who are not free that are still on drugs. They're overeating. They're gambling. I know Christians who are gambling. They're stuck on gambling. They can't stop gambling. They have other forms of addiction. Some of them have sexual addictions. I might get real, real close to you this morning. And so there's so many addictions out there. Now we look at somebody else. We talked about this on Wednesdays. It's easy to go ahead with your pointy nose, look at somebody, look down on somebody and say, look at that guy, how he is, and make judgments on that person. But we don't like to be judged. Amen. And we shouldn't judge everybody else, because some area somebody might be strong in might be somewhere you're weak in. And besides that, there are different bondages and different areas that people suffer because of their ancestry. But Jesus set us free from all of it. And we're all set free according to the word of God. So this, he says, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, that tells me being a daughter of Abraham, daughter of faith, or people who walk by faith, should be free. We walk by faith, not by sight. See, some people are going by feelings alone and by natural information that I still feel like I'm in bondage. It has nothing to do with feeling you're in bondage or feeling that you want to do some things. The Bible says you're free whether you feel it or not. I know for a number of years, I didn't lose my desire to completely quit using substance. I fought a lot, and I went to lots of meetings. I went to a meeting every single day. Now, you don't have to do what I did, but I did what I had to do for myself. Some people say, well, I just went once a week. God used Alcoholics Anonymous to bring me to Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. Because as I studied the material and found out the leader, or the one who actually founded the program, came to Jesus Christ. I said, if Bill Wilson came to Jesus Christ, and that was his higher power, I want to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. So after 4 years of sobriety, I'm breaking my anonymity. Let me tell you who else is in the program here. We're on national television here. Can you put the camera over here, please? No, I'm just kidding. No, you know, I got free on the basis of truth. And I can end my sermon right now and say this. If you're going to continue to conceal your addiction and whatever your health, whatever is holding you captive, if you lie and don't tell the truth about it, don't tell anybody, you'll be as held captive as long as there is. Amen. Now that you got my point, let's go ahead and go home now. Now, there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. But he said, ought not this woman. Now, Jesus said, this woman who is a daughter of Abraham, and he's talking about you and me who are people of faith, all of us that are Christians that have went back into certain bondages after we got saved, your body is not saved. Your emotions are not saved. You have to save your own emotions by getting to the Word of God, getting into your spirit, to your spirit be strong enough to overcome those emotions that drag you back into the way you used to be. Or your flesh is not saved because your flesh still has appetites. It's not saved. It will want to do the same thing it used to do before it was born again, before your spirit was born again. The only part of you that's born again is your spirit, your inside man. And that inside man, for a lot of people, are so weak that their body overcomes their spirit or their mind overcomes their spirit and they're stuck in the same trap that they used to be before they were saved. That's why a lot of people go back to the old way because they failed to do something. And I put something in my Facebook status the other day, a couple of days ago, and some people liked it. Some people don't understand it, but, you know, the best thing you can do for yourself, I'm talking to Christians now, the best thing you can do for yourself after you're saved is to renew your mind. Is to change your thinking. Because if you don't change your thinking, you're going to go back to the same old ways you used to be. Just carry the same old fears and so on. And so we need to have the truth given to us. Truth will only set you free. Amen. Like I didn't get set free unless I realized that I was a drunken Indian. I was both Indian and drunk. Now, some of you guys are not laughing, but for me it's funny because somebody told me that many times, you know, I mean, I had to understand that that's what I was. I was drunk all the time. And I couldn't stop on my own. And back and forth at detox, I remember a good friend, Pat, used to feed me TV dinners all the time. And I would look up the street there, and I used to see the St. Joseph's Hospital from the detox center on Cameron Street, right across from the Waverly Hotel. If you pass out, they'll just drag you right across to the detox center. If you get too sick, you take it to your merge this man was they used to call them orderlies, but they have special names for you now. What do you call them today?
Oh no, I was an orderly working at the hospital. I transferred over.
You transferred over. You became disorderly. It's Chris's addiction. Yeah, okay, but they call different, even stewardess, no, not called stewardess, they call flight attendants, right? So, that's a nice name. But anyway, a bondage is something that holds people in captivity. That's what it is. So, there's so many people that are held captive. So, Jesus said this woman was held captive to Satan for 18 years. Some people are addicted for a long time with many things, and they're held captive. Some of them just have fear all the time. There's a lot of things that hold you captive. So my proposition this morning for you is this. It's the truth that sets you free. Finding out the truth. Jesus prayed in John 17:17. He said to his Father, "Thy word is truth." Is when we receive the knowledge of the truth or receive truth that we will be set free. See, the devil holds people in captivity, lying to them about their situation, that there's no way out. That God's finished with you yet now, and that there's no way you'll ever be free. And this is the toughest thing that can ever, no one's ever been. You're the only one that has this. And so he liked, that's his favorite line. I want you to know, the devil's favorite line is that you're the only one. And this is so unique that God cannot fix it. And people bite it. Take the bait. And they don't want to tell anybody, of course, because they don't want to know, they don't want anybody to know that they have a problem. And at the same time, the devil is condemning them for having a problem which he caused. And then condemns them and makes them feel guilty and feels worse even more. I want you to go to Paul's prayer here for the church at Ephesus, inspired by the Spirit of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. Let's go there, please. Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae, we find a very, very enlightening in understanding of what Jesus accomplished for us by suffering and dying for every one of us. He didn't just die for one race of people. He died for everybody. Jesus' prayer that he prayed is an anointed prayer, Spirit-inspired prayer, which the Holy Spirit himself gave Paul. It gives us light on the matter of deliverance. This is something we can be thankful for each day, and we can calm all our nerves, so to speak, that deliverance belongs to every one of us. That anyone can be set free from any captivity. Hey, where are you guys going? We're just getting started. Praise God. This is one of my students, and I have to watch him from the college. I'm going to tell okay, see you there. I'll talk to you in a minute. See, I have a relationship with these guys, so. And I don't mind them, pointing them out. Glory to God. Amen. But I won't point you out. No one knows that this camera's on me, so no, it's not pointing on anybody. In case you get drunk in the Spirit of God, we'll show you. we have a conference coming up. Where are you going? Okay. We have a conference coming up September. Everybody say September. This is a paid announcement by Pastor Roma. September 20 to 24, we have three meetings a day. We have great music, great testimony, and we're going to have some great men of God coming. So make your way, calendar your time there, September 20 to 24th. Have a great time every year. Make sure you come. Bring your money, too. Okay, he says here, glory to God, amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. For this cause, or this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 9 to 14 there. The Bible tells us that we've been overcomers. Revelations 12:11 says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ covered every area of your life is important. And what It's what you say about your life that causes you to be free.
Amen.
The truth that you confess, that you make a part of your life, your daily schedule. You know this, what you say about any situation in your life really reveals what's already in your heart. See, whatever is in your heart at the time of pressure, if you have a pressure for a long time, if you listen to yourself or listen to other people who are saying negative things, that's where their faith is at. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the spirit, your inner man, the mouth will speak. Your mouth will reveal what's in your heart. So in the time of pressure, when you get squeezed, whatever's in there is going to come out. That's why we need to get the Word of God in our spirit. You know, so it's important for us to feed on the Word so that we get the Word of God stronger in us so that the devil cannot steal it from you. See, I've gone through a lot of different areas in my life where I've struggled, and I'm not giving up my confession. You know, Hebrews tells us, hold on to your good confession of faith.
Amen.
Hold on to the confession of faith. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that your confession. Because in the hardest times, when you're not delivered, when you're in the state of captivity and deliverance, it's easy to confess the wrong thing because of your feelings. Because of looking at the conditions that you're in. That for myself, I had to be able to believe that I was free. And it was until I began to say, I am free. I am free right now, that I was actually set free completely.
Amen.
And I felt I was in bondage to AA meetings. How many people understand what I'm talking about? Thank God for AA meetings. I love it. I think if you have a problem, you need to go to a meeting if you need to go to a meeting. But don't do what I did unless you understand what I understand. So I said, I'm in bondage to these meetings. I have to go to these meetings. So I was in bondage to go to these meetings. I went. It gave me that lift every time. But I realized that I could have this lift without it if I knew what I know today. And there was people waiting for me to go back to using, watching me for many. It's been 40 years. 40 years, 40. Amen. And I'm free. No, I don't have to go. I don't go back. I don't have any desire to go drinking. And I don't have to go to a meeting. I go to a meeting every day, all day long, with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, thank God for those meetings. Thank God. If you need to go, I'll take you. I'll go and sit with you. Thank God. I'm not against it. I'm for it. I'll take you there. I'll drive you there. I'll take you to detox. I'll take you to Smith Center. Use everything you can to get yourself well until you get to a place where you're strong enough to walk on your own two feet. That's why I tell people, I want to tell people a lot of times they write on their thing, pray for me, pray for me. I understand baby Christians saying that, but older Christians, no. I say, pray for yourself. I want to say that, but I don't. I'm not mean. You ought to learn how to pray for. If you're 5 years in the Lord, you shouldn't be asking for people all over the internet or whatever to tell you to ask you to pray. Come here and learn how to pray for yourself and get yourself free. Oh, he's getting tough. No, yeah, I'm telling you the truth, because some people, you know, you have to get to a place. No, get to a place where you're always depending on God, and we all always depend on each other. I'm not saying, you know, to that place, independence, you know. But you got to believe, I'm saying, believe that your own prayers will work for you.
Amen.
It's not how many people pray for you that you're going to be set free. It's what you know that sets you free.
Amen.
It's what Jesus already did for you. It's what he's already done.
Amen.
We started by saying the truth shall set you free. When you come consistently and learn. You know, I was a learner. Like when I went to those meetings, I went to a meeting every day. I read the books through and through. I still have some of the same books. I copied every book, every line. I wrote every line, wrote notes, took journals, read the 12 and 12 book, read as A comes out, read the 12 and 12, read the as a day by day book. I read all the books, little red book, every little book they had. I read it, studied it, went to school on it, and listened to everybody that spoke in those meetings and find out what they had year after year, day after day, night after night, listened to them. I found out lots of them didn't have a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, they said. Because I just looked at their life and said, this guy could not have a spiritual experience. But I know Bill did. And I know I did because I asked God. I said, God, I want what he had. How come he's got one and I didn't get one? And then I had an encounter with God. Not just one, a few times. See, if you want God long, if you want God enough in your life, he'll come to the degree that you want him. Okay. Preaching to the choir. There's a prophetic word that came from a man of God by the name of Isaiah. Here's what he said. Isaiah 49:24. This is about captivity. Is this helping anybody this morning? I haven't gone to my introduction yet, so I will get there. I'm watching the clock. It's 11:41. Okay. Isaiah 49:24-25, King James Version. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus said the Lord. Who said it? Isaiah said. The Lord said it. This is what the Lord said. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. I will contend with him that contends with you, and I will save your children. Now, God is talking to Israel, whose children were held captive. Understand this, you have to stand strong for your children. Things don't always happen overnight just like you want it. As soon as it doesn't happen in 3 weeks, people quit. And they get weaker in their soul and they begin to, you know, lose their grip on things. Now here's there. Let's look at this from the New Living Translation. Who shall snatch the plunder of war from the hands of the warrior? And who can demand that the tyrant let his captives go? But the Lord says, the captives of the warriors will be released, and the plunder of the tyrants will be retrieved. I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. This is the New Living Translation. Now the Amplified says this, can the spoils of war be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the tyrant be rescued? Indeed, this is what the Lord says. Even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the tyrant spoils of war will be rescued. For I will contend with your opponent, and I will save your children. This is God talking to Israel about every one of his children that was taken away off into the land of the enemy. The land of the enemy for us is on the territory of the enemy, who holds you captive of whatever captivity you have. Amen. It could be the land of addiction to alcohol or drugs. It could be the land of poverty and lack, the land of fear and depression. Some people are held captive. God says, he says, all your enemies, you understand, this language is, where does it say that? He says, I will be, I'm the one who's defending. No, he says, let me just see this. I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. I will fight those who fight you. I will contend with your enemies. You see, listen to this. Covenant, when God cut covenant through Jesus Christ, because he knew that his son will not break covenant. We would break covenant, but his son would not break covenant. So we're all brought into covenant through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God does not break covenant like man breaks covenant.
That's right.
And in covenant relationship, your enemies become my enemies, and my enemies become your enemies. What yours is mine. My wife teaches a covenant in Bible school. God says your enemies is my enemies. And I'm going to fight against those enemies that's fighting you.
Hallelujah.
See, you're not fighting this battle alone. You're not alone. See, the devil likes to tell people they're alone in this battle of life. You're not alone fighting any battle. The battle is won by the Lord already. Now, your body doesn't know that, and your mind does not know that. Your mind doesn't understand all that stuff, spiritual stuff, because we live in the natural world every day. And it's hard for us to detach ourselves from our emotional and physiological aspects of our life because we're driven from our desires, from our impulses of our bodies, our flesh. And a lot of times our bodies and flesh will want what it's not supposed to have. And there's a continual turmoil going on. When we understand, you know, the greatest thing that helped me in Bible school was understanding this. Brother Hagin, when he taught this, is to understand about spirit, soul, body. And this will help your faith. Understand that man is a triune being. He is a spiritual being, possesses a soul, and lives in the physical body. While your spirit is free, Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we have something to do. We should clean up and fix up our mind, our thinking. And do something with our physical bodies. The Bible said we have to begin to take a hold of our flesh and begin to control its impulses. We can do it. It's just that we don't believe it because we believe our feelings more than we believe the Word. And it's hard. It's not easy. The Message Bible says, can the plunder be retrieved from the giant? You know, whatever is holding people captive, it's a giant to them. It's too big for them to handle by themselves. The Message Bible says, can they be retrieved from a giant? Prisoners be gotten from the back from the tyrant. You know, we look at people from our own perspective, from our psychological, natural perspective. We look at people and say, how could this person ever be set free? I've seen people who is totally, they should have been dead a long time ago. But today they're walking around having lives that are worth living. Even the giant's grip, the plunder will, and the tyrant's hold from the people prisoner, I'm the one who's on your side defending your cause, rescuing your children, he says. So the scripture tells us that Jesus has set us free. Now, if you would turn over here to Colossians 2, there's some illuminating facts here that we can get. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 to 15. I told you we got a number of scriptures, and you know, this is part of our Bible course, Bible study. Like when you come to this church, you will learn your Bible. You will learn where the Bible chapters are. You'll learn different things, and you'll go to your Bible and read and find scriptures there and memorize some of them. Let's go ahead and read. Colossians 2, starting from verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ as Lord, so walk ye in him. The question is, if you stop right there, the question is asked right there. How did you receive Jesus Christ as Lord? What work did you do? How much did you have to pay for receiving Jesus? You didn't have to do anything. It's a gift. How did you actually receive it? You received it by faith. You received Jesus Christ by faith. What do you mean by faith? On the basis of the word preached, you received Jesus. On the basis of the word preached, you received Jesus. The Bible says, so walk ye in him. So you receive by faith. Right after that, you're required to walk by faith. In everything else that you receive the biggest gift in your whole life, which was salvation through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus by faith. Everything else comes the same way in this life. So walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, that is in the Word, established in faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you. The word spoil, you know, is kind of, you get lost in translation, you know. People can spoil your thinking by giving you something not good. You know, spoil is a good word because, you know, it's a danger to mix other things with Scripture and think that, you know, this is Scripture, right? So spoil you through philosophy, there it is, and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ, which is the Scriptures. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are circumcised, or the circumcision made without hands. That's a good story. There's a good teaching here. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, had He quickened together with Him, or made alive with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And this is the clincher right here for this here. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He destroyed them. The word spoil also is translated, He paralyzed them. He put them to naught. He reduced them to zero. According to your standing, according to whatever. That means that the devil has no hold on you if you don't allow him to. He made a show of him. He made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. In other words, the triumphing that Jesus had victory over all the enemies. And that victory was awarded to every one of us over every one of those bondages. So at the cross, that's what He did. He did that for us. He didn't have to go to the cross, but He did it for you and me so that we can have freedom. You know, Matthew 9:22, Jesus said, you know, to the lady with the issue of blood, it's your faith that made you whole. To the blind man who was asking Jesus for help, He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. He said, okay, according to your faith, believe it. You have it. It's according to what you believe. If you believe only way to get sober from the drugs is Teen Challenge, then that's what you believe. The only way to get sober is go to the Smith Center and to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. The only way, that's what you believe. You know, it's according to your faith. And thank God you can go there and get freedom. And yet there is another way. And that's through Jesus Christ. Yes, God will use everything to help you and get you back on your feet, but there's other ways. I mean, you can go to any weight loss program, and there's a lot of friends that I know that are eating this, drinking that, doing whatever to get free from fat. But I read in my scripture that the fat is of the Lord. Amen. So God knows how to set you free. You know, don't say, wow, he's using that. Hey, let him. If he believes that he wants to be set free by drinking that fruit juice, go ahead. If you can walk. I'm thinking about Sandra here. She lost like another person. Like, she's a totally different person. Look at her. Beautiful looking camera. Best looking one we got yet. And all the camera people get mad at me, but Sandra did wonderful. She lost all that weight. She better keep it off too, or stop going to the chicken house on Wednesday night. She lost a friend. She lost a friend there that they were just real good chums. They were getting chubbier and chubbier every year. And I was following them right on it. And one day, some of these guys started jumping off. Like they had, I think Paul and them guys had some kind of contest. I bet Paul won, I think, eh? Yeah, he won. he put some back on, though. But see, this is what we're saying, is to be free, right? Paul, I'll be the first one to pray for you this morning. God bless you. We're going to come to your house. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. Now, let's Jesus know how to set us free. We'll just stop here in a few, because there's a lot more to say on this. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Everybody said, Jesus knows how to set me free. Because, you see, the devil has told people that there's no way out of their situation, but there is a way out. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Like, you need to be careful how where you're standing, what you're doing, and, you know, there has no temptation taken you, but as such as common to man. So there's nothing in this world that is so unique that you cannot be free from. And like I said earlier, the devil's favorite line is that you're the only one that has this. You're so unique that you cannot ever be set free. You're too far gone. And so, on top of that, what if somebody knows about your problem? You shouldn't tell anybody. You shouldn't go tell everybody, but you got to tell somebody. Don't broadcast it all over the internet and say, hey, listen, I got a big problem here. That'll go wild. Everybody be talking about it and getting all the devils in on it as well. And gets more people hurt, more people in trouble. You know, people hurt themselves by opening up their mouth. And if the more you open your mouth, the more devil attacks you. He knows he's getting to you. And he'll send more people your way. That's why I don't share all my problems online. I tell them all over here to this man. Confess your faults to everybody. So anyway, there's no temptation to take on you, but it's such as common to man. But God is faithful. Is God faithful?
Yes.
What will he do? He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. See, here's where the misinterpretation people bring is that, you know, God's giving me all this hard stuff. No, he ain't giving you hard stuff. He's not going to allow whatever you can. Whenever you need the help, he's going to be there. That's what he's talking about. God's not sending you temptation. He don't send anybody any kind of hardships their way.
Right.
Someone asked me the other day, you know, if God knows everything, why doesn't he just stop? If he knows everything and he knows everything the devil's going to do, why doesn't he just stop it? I said, well, everybody has a free will. I said, why doesn't God make you do stuff? Why doesn't he make us all do stuff? Because we have a free will. And sometimes with their free will, people hurt people. You ever heard that? People hurt people? Hurting people hurt people? But happy people are something else. Okay. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way for you to escape, that you'll be able to bear this. So there's broad areas of temptations and trials and tests and all that stuff. People get all kinds of stuff in their lives going on. They're common to everybody. Anger, say for instance, people have some Bible says that, you know, you can be angry, but don't sin. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Get angry, but don't sin. Don't use your anger and get into more trouble. Notice this, Jesus said, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, and yet without sin. So Jesus was tempted, and we all are tempted from time to time. Jesus himself was tempted. He was tempted to a point that Scripture says that Jesus was so tempted. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 says Jesus was so tempted. It was such a drain on his system. Matthew 12 says that Jesus Jesus sweat blood, right? Or and he'll leave you sometime for a season, but he'll always want to come back to you to try to get you back where he had you before. In Luke 22:44, the Bible says that Jesus suffered so much that drops of blood was falling down from his forehead. Hebrews 12:2-4 says, verse 4 says, you have not yet resisted to the point of bleeding from your forehead. But Jesus had that temptation, and yet he didn't sin. But he's not going to let you go that far. But he did that for us. So we all get tempted from time to time. And James 1, 12 to 15 says that the reason why we get tempted by our own lust. We're drawn, but every man is tempted. Hebrews 12, 15, I believe it says there, is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust and enticed. So he's driven away by his own desires, his own impulses, but he's enticed. Enticement is the devil's work. Our problem is the temptation, our lusts are what we take care of, but the enticements, the Bible says, there is the devil baiting you for more to take you in, and then it says when sin is conceived and death is there, the working of death. I mean, you might not die right that instant, but eventually it leads to death if you don't get prayer or you don't get help. So I believe that this morning, as we close this service, we can thank God that we can be free from drugs. Amen. We can be free from alcohol. We can be from sexual deviancy, gluttony, overeating, gambling, lying, love of money, love of whatever pleasure. But we can be free today. Romans 6:16 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Deuteronomy 30 says, I've put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. Not only will it affect your life that you're set free, but it'll affect your kids, your family, your friends, and so forth and so on. It affects everybody. Your choice, whether good or bad, affects so many people in life. People can be free today, right now, wherever you are. If you're watching online, you can be free right now. You don't have to have hand laid on you. You don't have to have come to this church. You don't have to go to any church. You should go to church. But to be free, you don't have to go to church. Jesus will set you free right there. If you're watching from a hotel room somewhere, watching from your phone at your house, or wherever you are, God will set you free. He'll come right where you are. He loves you that much, he's already made a way for you to be free. He's already made the way. Our job today is to be honest. Is to start being honest about what's happening in our lives. And we can just come to God and take our freedom by faith and declare what our rights and privileges are as a child of God. Let's everybody stand up and we're going to declare what the Word of God says together. And those of you that are watching online can do the same wherever you are. And let's go ahead in unison, lift our hands and begin to say this. Say, I am free. Say, I am delivered from the power of the enemy. I am free because Jesus has set me free. Jesus said, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, thy word is truth. I believe the word of God. I believe the truth. Thank you, Lord, that I am free from bondages. I am free. I declare that today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will resist all forms of captivity, all forms of bondage, that we are free, free to live. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and give him praise and thanksgiving. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your freedom that you've given us in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can be free. Free to live. Free from fear. Free from anything that would bind us. Free from everything that would hold us in captivity. Thank you, Lord, because of my decision, you said in Deuteronomy 30, that when I choose life, that me and my children will be free. Thank you. I declare my children, my family free. I declare every one of us free. I declare that my wife is free. I declare us to be free from every form of captivity. I thank you every day. I choose to praise you. I choose to look at the good and not the bad. I choose to say that you can turn every trouble into every trial into triumph. I choose to believe and call those things which be not as though they were. I know that it doesn't look right in some areas, but I believe that you have set us free. And I believe the word is true. And you cannot fail. You said you watch over your word to perform it wherever you send it to make it good and make it happy. Thank you, Lord, because I'm happy today because of it. Thank you. With every eye closed, every head bowed, is there somebody in here in this room that would say this church or wherever you are, every head bowed, to say, I need Jesus Christ. I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Yes, I've been to church. Yes, I prayed. I've knelt down. I've done different things. But I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I've never made a public statement that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus died for you publicly. He died on the bloody hill, bleeding, naked, wounded before all humanity. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Is there anyone here in this room that would say, Pastor